You're thinking about becoming an electrical engineer, aren't you? Otherwise, you probably wouldn't be playing this tape. My name is Walter Beam. I'm an electrical engineer, a graduate of the University of Maryland. I know many other electrical engineers here in the U.S. and abroad. Each of us went through a serious self-questioning before we decided to begin a career in electrical engineering. And keep in mind, many of us had slightly different ideas when we entered college. For instance, I started in chemical engineering and switched to EE, as we call electrical engineering, at the end of my freshman year. A major factor in my switch was a freshman chemistry professor who made some unpleasant remarks about my home state of Virginia. I guess I didn't want to be like him. Today, in most engineering colleges, a student can begin a program and work through 3 or 4 semesters before he must finally make up his mind which engineering specialty he wants to go after. Most engineering colleges today still offer 4-year degree programs, though a few schools have decided to give a first professional degree only after 5 years. That degree may, for example, be a master's, the same degree you'd ordinarily get with a 4-year undergraduate program and 1 year of graduate study. No matter how you do it, and no matter what the school, an engineering study program tends to be a tougher one than many programs in social sciences and business or humanities. More courses, more homework, but that's because engineering courses aim at giving you a professional education, one which equips you to practice engineering soon after leaving college. At the same time, 20% of your classes are the humanities and other socially oriented courses, which engineers now realize are necessary to a well-rounded personality. I'll come back to questions of the college years and selecting a school later, but first I'd like to tell you something about the type of work electrical engineers do and the kind of companies they work for. To understand why things are the way they are, you must realize that electronics, a very important part of the modern electrical engineer's bag, has been with us only about 40 years. Transistors, now in the form of integrated electronic circuits, have only been around 20 years. And I must admit that transistors have happened since I got my first degree back in 1947. But electrical engineering was practiced way back in the 19th century, when electrical motors, generators, and that newfangled invention, the electric light bulb, were the main concerns of EEs. The upshot of all this is that some electrical engineers now work mainly with power equipment, while other electrical engineers work on transistors or computers. Today, electronics has worked its way into most of our lives and plays an important part in the power utility field, where remote operation and monitoring of power generating and distribution substations is performed by systems having built-in computers. The new Bay Area Rapid Transit in San Francisco area of California, a modern descendant of the Toonerville Trolley electric streetcar, is almost wholly automated by electronic controls. And I don't have to tell people who've lived your whole lives in the age of television about the subtle everyday influences of electronics on our lives. While to some people the words electrical engineer means someone who designs wiring for commercial buildings, for others they mean a computer scientist or someone who devises new ways of making even smaller integrated circuits. Just which of these or many other EE paths you may follow is largely up to you. The undergraduate program aims at preparing you to move into any one of these electrically related areas, and I might add there are many electrical engineering graduates who have gone on to law, medicine, or business. Whether you work as an electronics designer or a data processing manager or in a largely non-technical job, the skills and disciplines learned in an EE college program come in handy. I hope this doesn't sound too much like a sales pitch, but as you can tell, I am enthusiastic about my chosen profession. I would agree that a liberal arts education can make a culturally broader person out of you after 4 years, but culture alone isn't a way of life either. For myself, I found I can better absorb culture in lighter doses, for example, through leisure reading, foreign travel, and civic activities. Believe me, people with problems of most any kind are always interested in having the help of a person with a good logical approach and the ability to manipulate numbers. And that's what an EE is. returning to what it is that electrical engineering graduates do for a living. In addition to subject matter, for example, electronics, transistors, power, communications, or control systems, there's a range of jobs that are connected with each topic. The job spectrum ranges from research at the most abstract end to manufacturing engineering at the down-to-earth end. Usually, in large companies at least, there's a research group which strives to invent new types of devices or systems, new technology, for example. The laser, which you've certainly heard about, was the output of such a research organization. So was the transistor. But in this just-invented form, most ideas, and even good ones, have no practical value. So there are people who do development or design and devise actual products. Usually, though not always, the design engineers do experiments to find out just how the product should be built, and then actually build one or a few. Following this, manufacturing engineers then devise ways to build the product at the desired level of production. For example, if special parts have to be made, special tools may be designed by the manufacturing engineers. In the automotive industry, where mass production is tremendously important, the manufacturing engineer dominates the scene, and research is perhaps less important to the company. In many industries providing equipment for defense, research and design phases get greatest concentration, since relatively few items of a kind are ever produced. Another factor in the electrical engineer's job equation is the size of the company he works for. Many engineers work for companies which employ hundreds of engineers, and of course there are giant firms such as American Telephone and Telegraph and IBM which employ thousands of engineers, the greatest part of them from the electrical engineering area of study. But other engineers, and for several years I've been in that category, are self-employed as consultants. During my engineering career, I've worked for several large companies and several small ones, including myself. Each has its own type of reward. In the large companies, opportunities for advancement are greater, but in the small companies, one can feel a more immediate and personal contribution to the company's success or its failure. Salary levels for comparable responsibility are comparable pretty much no matter where you work. This holds true for the federal government also, and that's a very large employer of engineers. In industries as large as the ones I'm talking about, you'll find some firms which are aggressive and others which are very conservative. If you prefer the well-established type of company in which extensive on-paper planning is done, a power-generating utility might suit you. Or if you're a go-go type of person, or like to build circuits with your own bare hands, a position with a small manufacturer of computer-related equipment might appeal to you. Generally, the greater the risks, potentially the greater the rewards. This is no different from any other vocation, where one may suit his personality by electing the right amount of challenge, risk, and reward. Now, what about the matter of military or aerospace engineering work? Do a lot of electrical engineers get stuck in lifetime careers developing engines of destruction? And if the end result of your work is important to you, can you choose an area where your output will positively serve mankind? At least one-third of electrical engineers are employed by firms which principally develop military or aerospace equipment. Over the years, since World War II introduced electronics into warfare, most military equipment designed by electrical engineers has been designed for defensive actions. In the Cold War era, when military developments in Russia were moving rapidly, it was important and patriotic to contribute to assuring that the U.S. had at least the potential to defend itself. During these years, much equipment was designed with little likelihood of actually putting it into military production. Then, in the 1960s, the Vietnam War made many U.S. citizens ashamed of the way it was using its military power. Military budgets still went up, but research and development in military and space efforts were cut. With reduced military budgets, some engineers who had spent their entire working careers in narrow fields of specialization suddenly found themselves out of work. This was a new problem for engineers, and the news media have emphasized the unemployed engineer out of proportion to his numbers. This and a general anti-technology philosophy have taken their toll on engineering school freshman enrollments, which have dropped about 15% in each of the past 2 years, that is 1971 and 1972. Business and government leaders are now forecasting a shortage of engineers beginning about 1977, when today's freshmen would be in the job market. Intelligent investors know that the best time to buy stock is when prices reach a low. The present engineering career situation likewise offers an improved opportunity for those individuals who are qualified and interested in engineering careers. What salaries do engineering graduates, and particularly electrical engineers, receive? A typical starting figure, 1972, might be $10,000 per year or slightly less for a well-qualified four-year graduate. What do electrical engineers now with 15 years' experience out of school receive? Well, here it depends on whether the man is working as an individual, say a design engineer or researcher, or whether he has moved into management. The average engineer who has remained in design work after about 15 years has a salary of about $19,000 per year. Researchers may be paid up to $30,000 per year or even higher. And salary of managers, who are engineers by background, is very much like that of any other manager. It depends on how much money and how much people the man manages. Some engineers have complained that they can't make as much money as doctors or lawyers. This may be true, but it's really the nature of the doctor's business. Dealing with sick individuals as an entrepreneur, which makes a big difference. Many electrical researchers make more than medical researchers, and many independent engineering consultants have incomes comparable to those of doctors and lawyers. On the other hand, most engineers do far better financially than most teachers, even those with advanced degrees. One can't deny that the supply and demand for engineers plays a role in determining what engineers get as income, and I will point out that an engineer shortage is on the way. Even at the depth of the so-called Nixon recession in 1971, engineering unemployment reached 2.5%, well below the 7% for the overall labor force. In midsummer 1972, it was down to 1.7%. The normal unemployment for engineers, that is from the 60s, is about 0.6%, and this is due largely to people who are in the process of changing jobs. The recent unemployment among corporate executives has probably been higher than that among engineers. And, of course, you've heard of the 27,000 1972 law graduates who faced only 10,000 law openings. Engineers don't have to face such tough job odds today. Before I depart from the subject of what engineers do on the job, I'd like to dispel any present ideas you may have about how and where the engineer works. Some people imagine him as sitting at one of 100 identical drafting boards in a barn-like room. Wrong. The vast majority have private offices or share them with one or two other engineers. Some people imagine the engineer is forever pulling out his slide rule to make on-the-spot calculations. Wrong again. Today, more calculations are done on computers. Many engineers are now also highly skilled computer programmers. You may imagine the electrical engineer with a soldering iron in his hand. You're thinking about electronics technicians who do most of the handwork. But you will find electrical engineers working in scientific laboratories, making small wiring changes in huge computer systems they are designing and testing, presenting talks to prospective customers for new process control systems, leading project management teams to coordinate development of new automatic landing systems for commercial aircraft, guiding police and fire departments in new emergency system installations, and many other interesting activities. And don't think of the engineer as forever the individual designer working alone at his desk. For a large fraction of engineers, this is just a start into a technically oriented role in corporate management, a role for which the engineer is probably as well qualified as a lawyer or a financier. You have reached the end of side one. To continue, stop your cassette player, remove and turn over the cassette, and restart the player.